Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
A high fly ball out to center. Deep, Bradley back. Warning track and gone. A home run. Gregory Polanco homers to center. A two-run shot off Devin Williams. And the Pirates lead it 6-1.
And a very impressive home run off Devin Williams. Not just the fact that Polanco did hit the ball and it went over the fence, which the rare times he hits it, that's where it goes. But Devin Williams, a guy that is viewed by many as one of the finest relievers in all of Major League Baseball and has just a nasty changeup, and that's what Polanco put over the fence. A very impressive moment from Gregory Polanco in last night's 6-1 Pirates victory. Craig Riley back with you this Saturday morning for Bucco Talk here every Saturday from 9 to 11. And got to tell you first that now at Wetco Unlimited, car washes for $9.99 per month. You hear Andrew Filippone talk about them all the time. He gets his car washed like every day. $9.99 per month on the top wash for your first 3 months. Valid for new customers only. Wash at any of their 40 Wetco locations. Save time and money by registering at getgocafe.com/unlimited for this limited time offer. And details also at 937thefan.com. Talking about the Pirates past week, a much better week than we were talking about the last time we met for Bucco Talk. And we go out to the line and welcome in Jeff Hathorn, who's joining us pretty much every week on Bucco Talk now at this time. And Jeff, JT Brubaker last night had Bob Walk on the postgame show, and he was just sort of raving about Brubaker and not just how good his stuff looked, but how good he looked on the mound and the way he carried himself. What did you see from Brubaker last night?
Yeah, those things. I'm seeing a guy that's comfortable throwing his stuff in the zone. I think early in his career, like many major leaguers, you get up to the big leagues, you come up from AAA, and it's like, is my stuff going to work? Like, do I have good enough stuff? Especially when you don't have overpowering stuff, and Brubaker doesn't.
Yep.
Am I going to be able to get guys out at this level? And you try to be so fine. I think that's something that Mitch Keller is dealing with, honestly. You try to be so fine and so precise because you're worried about giving up that big bomb or a big inning. It doesn't seem like Brubaker gets affected. Like, if he has a bad outing from what we've seen in his dozen starts, if he has a bad outing or gives up a big home run, he doesn't seem freaked out by that, which is such a great sign because you're not looking for Brubaker to be your ace. But obviously, if he can give you what he gave last night, you know, every second, third start, and then the other starts you're giving up 3-6 or something like that, man, I'll take that every day. This is a guy who kind of snuck his way up through the system. He wasn't one of the names that you were, you know, keeping your eye on, but the guy's figured something out, and he's got that nice lanky pitcher. I love lanky pitchers because they, for whatever reason, they seem to freak out hitters.
And that's the thing about Brubaker. I don't want to go so over the top that I'm saying, oh, yeah, Brubaker's an ace. He's their ace right now, and that's relatively speaking to the rest of the rotation, which is a good and a bad thing. It's great because you're getting probably the best version of JT Brubaker, but if you're a team that is in contention, JT Brubaker is like a great number three starter, I think. Like a 3, 4, and 5, you'd love to have him there behind your horses at the top of the rotation. And we talk about the way we're seeing Brubaker on the mound, the confidence, the calmness, the way he's attacking hitters. And these are all pretty much the exact opposite of what we're saying about Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller had another tough start this week, and I spent the last segment looking back on just the whole past week. And I think at the end of Derek Shelton's post game last night, he even got asked about this in like a veiled way. You know how you sometimes have to ask these questions to get an answer. He said, is there anything that maybe you can take from what Brubaker did and share that with other starters to help them? Which, boy, you don't have to read between the lines very much there to see that's a question about, hey, can any of this from Brubaker rub off on Mitch Keller? Do you think there's a chance that could happen?
I mean, guys, watch. I mean, you're watching your teammates and what they do, and pitchers are competitive. You know, they discuss at times where starting rotation can trigger itself. You know, one good start leads to another. I would hope so, much like I would hope that Chad Kuhl would go into the first inning thinking about throwing strikes. That's something that he hasn't done in his first innings to date, and why he hasn't lasted long in games. You know, it seems like he has this horrible start and, you know, beginning to a game and then figures it out. Keller, you know, the one good start we've seen from him, he was staked to a big lead. And there's got to be something that they can draw mentally from that. You know, where in his mind, he thought, okay, I've got this lead. I can go throw strikes. And I don't know if it's talking to Brubaker. I don't know if – I think some guys have so much success through the minor leagues that in their mind, they know what they're doing. Like, they've got it figured out. And the only thing really that solves that is getting knocked down at the major league level, and you hope they can get back to it. Keller's got plenty of good stuff for the major leagues. But there are just some things, and I think a lot of it's mental. I mean, the thing I really like, Craig, about Keller is he's got a delivery that could go 10, 15 years. Like, he doesn't put a lot of strain on his arm. He's got the classic motion where he's driving with his legs. And I think that could produce longevity. He's just got to figure it out mentally.
I was actually texting with, and this is going to come across like I'm bragging about it or something. I'm definitely not. We had him on the show, so that's why I have his number. I was texting with Jeff Karstens, of all people. He is very into watching Mitch Keller this year. And he said something that really lines up with what you said there that I found interesting is that guys that have all that success in the minors don't necessarily sometimes know how to deal with the adversity in the majors. And that's what Carson said. He said he had his own struggles in the minors, and it actually really benefited him when he came to the pros, because you're going to get hit at this level. It's going to happen. You need to know how to respond to that. And he thinks that's something that Keller needs to figure out as well, because, like you said, he can't get staked a 7-run second inning every time to be able to get into that mind frame to pitch a certain way. But I was disappointed this week because I was hoping, like you said, that they would have taken something from that game with him and he would have thought, okay, this is how I do it, and gone back out and done it. I just wonder how much he's going to have to go through these struggles before it clicks, because the last thing I think anybody wants to see is him figuring it out somewhere else.
Well, I see some of his struggles, and it reminds me very much of Glasnow.
Yep.
When Glasnow struggled at first, you could see it in his face, like no one's hit me like this before. Like, this doesn't happen. I throw it there, no one can hit it. Like, you could, I mean, it was so transparent of what he was going through. And I don't know if it's as transparent with Keller, but it's a similar thing, and his stuff isn't as good as Glasnow. So, yeah, you're right. You would hate for him or for them to make a move because he's just not figuring out here and then all of a sudden become the ace of somebody else's staff.
Talking with Jeff Hathorn here on Bucco Talk about the Pirates. And, Jeff, there was a comment Derek Shelton made last night, and it's one of those things that I will always remember about Derek Shelton and will be a reason I like him, because he agrees with the way I feel about something. You know how that is. You want them to say the things that you think, because then it's like, okay, I'm definitely right about this then. What do they call it? Confirmation bias, right, or something like that?
Right.
So Derek Shelton last night was asked about Adam Frazier's success against the Brewers specifically, and if he thinks there's anything to that. And, man, do I love this, and I think you're going to feel the same way. Shelton said, analysts will tell you no. he'll 100% say, yes, it's a real thing that a guy can just have success against another team. How much do you love hearing a major league manager basically tell all those pencil pushers, like, yeah, there is still a human element to this game?
Yes. Yes. There's a place for numbers. Absolutely.
Yep.
But there's also a place for feel. And I see, my big one is wins-losses. I get it. Like, you could be a really good pitcher on a horrible team, and you shouldn't read into wins and losses. But I also believe there's a competitive mentality of why some pitchers get more wins than others. Like, when it comes down to it, they make the pitch or they seize the moment. So I don't discount it like so many people do. And I feel that way about analytics. There are some guys that don't have or have crazy numbers against somebody, and people try to explain it, and there isn't explaining it. It's a feel. It's a mentality that happens when you face an opponent or in a different ballpark.
Confidence is what we talked about, JT Brubaker, yeah. And I think a player can have confidence against an individual pitcher or even an individual team. There, like you said, numbers are useful in painting the complete picture. Where people lose me is when they say that's the whole picture. Like, oh, this guy has this spin rate. He's a phenomenal pitcher. Well, Mitch Keller is going to be my example, and he's sort of like the whipping boy here, so I feel somewhat bad about that. But everybody would say, by all the measurements you have on Mitch Keller, this guy should be a good pitcher. Well, why isn't it working then? If it's just all about numbers, why is his spin rate not striking out every batter he faces? I just absolutely loved hearing Shelton say that he's the type of guy that sort of stuff still matters to him.
And that's why I feel bad when you see all these budgets get cut for scouts and they rely on numbers or on video. There's something about being there in person that still matters, you know, to get a feel for how they're reacting, to watch them interact with teammates, not just everything that they can get on a number on the mound. There are other intangibles, and that's why, you know, these NFL teams spend so much time and so much money on these pro days and going out and seeing these people in person. It matters. I mean, there are other things than just a number. I'm with you 100%.
Last thing for you, Jeff. Anytime this guy has a good week or a good couple games, we're going to talk about it. Gregory Polanco. You go back to that 5-1 victory over the Padres when Musgrove was on the mound. He was 2-for-2 and walked twice, reached base four times, hit that monster home run last night. You going to buy into the Gregory Polanco hype that going into this week and think he can keep it going finally?
No. I want to. And, hey, think of the two pitchers he had home runs off of.
Yep.
One guy hadn't given up a run all year until Polanco took him deep. And then pitcher last night. I mean, you could argue those are two of the top 10 arms in the National League, at least to start the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could say this too. Did maybe he get lucky on Musgrove's fastball? Possibly. Did maybe Polanco think it was a fastball that he would have been late on and got the changeup and took it deep? I don't know, maybe. But still, you got to do it. You hit mistakes. And he's hit a couple of them. I root for Gregory Polanco. I still don't think he's figured it out. But he's had a couple of big hits this week. And you got to give it to him. And maybe that does lead to something. You know, he said he messed with something in his stance. Again, I don't think he's completely right there, but I'll also say this for him. It's not like he's got a lot of protection in the lineup, you know? I mean, it's not like it's a situation where he's got guys where he's going to see a ton of pitches. So
you mean Kevin Newman hitting 180 and Dustin Fowler hitting 176 behind him? Teams aren't fearing that right now?
Man, at some point they'll get some hits, hopefully, from that center field position, but that's one area that's really been disappointing.
Well, Jeff, that's the last thing I want to ask you. It sounds like Ke Bryan Hayes could be activated any day now off the injured list. What do you think they do roster-wise? I mean, Phillip Evans is going to keep playing, and I think making him sort of like the Josh Harrison of this team, he plays every day but probably never the same position on back-to-back days, is the right move for him. But who comes off the roster when they activate Hayes?
It's a great question because there are some little things, like you've probably seen this too. You watch Defoe interact with his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a great presence he is. And I'm not saying that's the only reason you keep somebody, But this is a team that hasn't had winning. This is a guy that was in an organization that won a world championship, has a great attitude. If it's me, I'm sending one of those center fielders down, probably Alford.
And the problem is you'd have to DFA them, right?
I know. And you'd roll the dice that no one would take them. But,
and I don't know if anybody would, Alford, right now.
Yeah, if you look at what he's done this year, it's bad. And you got to think that, you know, Toronto saw something, too, that he wasn't going to cut it at this level. Of course, the A's didn't see anything in Fowler either, but it's just that at least Fowler's hit a little bit at this level this year. It's been disappointing.
Jeff, thank you as always for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Craigers.
What do you got on the website before I let you go right now? Anything we should be checking out there?
I'm all over the place. I got Penguins, got some draft stuff, and wrote about the Pirates as well.
Nice. We'll be sure to read all that. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Craigers.
All right, Jeff Hathorn joining me on Bucko Talk. I think that's going to be a regular thing here with Jeff at this time every Saturday throughout the season, maybe give or take a couple of weeks if he needs some time off, because we know he deserves it at this point. Up next here on Bucko Talk, obviously the Pirates talk is going to continue. I want to talk about what happens, like I mentioned with Jeff there at the end, when Ke'Bryan Hayes comes off the injured list. He's with the team in Milwaukee. He is hitting off a pitcher in the cage. Everything is progressing to the point that, legitimately, I wouldn't be surprised if he got activated today or tomorrow or any time over the next couple of days. A roster decision is going to have to be made. We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about what happens if the Pirates can't figure out Mitch Keller. Not that I think we're at the point where that's going to be the case yet. Not ready to say, oh, they're never going to figure it out with Mitch Keller. But I think we're in an interesting space with where Mitch Keller is and where this organization is. So we'll talk about that next. And your calls as well, 412-928-9370. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at that number as well. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Craig Riley here with Bucko Talk.